Yo, how's it going, everyone? Welcome back to episode 3 of Avatar The Last Earbender. And today I am with Miss Winfrey.
Back again.
And today we are going to talk about the live action of Avatar. So to start off, what would you rate it out of 10 and what are your thoughts on it?
So first off, Netflix live action or the movie live action?
Let's start off with the movie first.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Feeling triggered. Movie live action, I give it a negative 39 out of 10. Netflix live action, I'm going to give it a solid 9.9 out of 10, y'all. And at this point, y'all know me. Y'all know that I do not play when it comes to Avatar, and I give it a 9.9 out of 10.
And what makes it different from the live action of the movie compared to the show?
The difference between the live action movie and the live action show. By and far, it's the visuals, the bending itself. I mean, the bending in the Netflix live action is light years ahead of where it was in the, what was that, like 2010 film or something?
It was
something
like around
when that came
2012,
out?
2010.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. We'll just call it the M. Night Shyamalan film. That movie was so horrible. I mean, do you remember that, like, iconically bad part of the movie where it took, like, 5 earthbenders to move, like, one rock across the screen?
Yeah, just to move one big rock. Or, like, it wasn't even, like, a very big rock. It was just, like, a small, like...
Yeah, it was, like, a little boulder.
Yeah.
If that really bothered you, you do not need to worry about that in the Netflix live action. I mean, right out the gate, the first episode starts with some serious bending, and it was just... It looked amazing, especially the earthbending.
So this is going to go like a little bit deep into it, but obviously I know you like Avatar Kyoshi.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thoughts when she appeared like right there on the spot? What did you expect when they were introducing her?
So the thing is, I wasn't expecting them to introduce Avatar Kyoshi at all. Like at all, because, you know, we really don't meet her in the cartoon until season 2 with Avatar Day. I mean, yeah, we go to Kyoshi Island in book 1 of the cartoon, but we don't like meet her or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not expecting this girl to pop up at all in the live action Avatar. And y'all, she comes up season 2 and I was just astounded.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy to see her. She looked so good. Her makeup and costumes were just amazing. The way that she was bending was spot on. And there are some fake fans, what I'm going to call them, that are, like, mad about that. They're like, oh, well, Kyoshi doesn't even, like, come until season 2, so they shouldn't have brought her in so early. I'm like, why are you mad that we're getting more time with iconic characters that we didn't get a lot of time with?
Mm-hmm.
I was happy that Netflix was able to find a way to make that happen because that's my girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I was having a great time that episode.
Mm-hmm. Like, when they showed her, like, I wasn't – they were introducing her – like when Aang was speaking to her, and when I saw, I was like, she's going to show herself and like show what it means to be an Avatar. I was confused right there. I was like, what does she mean by that? Like, is Aang just like going to go into like kind of like the flow state with that and then go into it? But no, it just showed Avatar Kyoshi there just go straight into there fighting Zuko and all of them and
mm-hmm.
then fighting off everybody else, the Fire Nation.
And I loved that part when she showed up to fight the Fire Nation soldiers on her island. Because if you remember, as soon as they saw her, they were like, well, gotta go.
No.
Like, Admiral Zhao, the look on his face, he was so scared. And it was so funny. And it was just so satisfying. Like, seeing all of these men just, like, scurry at the sights of this woman. I loved it.
So, going back to the beginning of the show, what were your thoughts when they were showing the scene of them killing, like, all the airbenders?
Pain with a capital P. Like, okay, because obviously in the cartoon we know that that happens, but we don't see it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, like, here's an example of Netflix creating this new thing for us to watch, but it makes sense, like, with the show. So it still feels like it flows, right? Watching their fighting style was insane. I was like, man, if this wasn't the Day of the Comet, these Fire Nation soldiers would have got beat down.
Like 100%.
100%. Those air nomads were giving them the business. Because even in Legend of Korra, spoiler alert if you haven't seen Legend of Korra, even when those airbenders, like, are fighting and like the Air Nation comes back, they weren't fighting like those airbenders on the live action Avatar. Mm-hmm. And it's like you want to root for them so bad.
Yeah.
Like you see them like whooping their butts and they're like, you want to like say, yeah, go. But you know they're going to get genocided.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so painful, especially when it showed the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. How did you feel watching that part? Because I was just
heartbroken. When I saw that part, I felt sentimental. I was like, I know, like, in the show, they didn't really show it. Like, mm-hmm. they were just explaining it. But then when we saw it there, I was like, that made me feel, like, sad and stuff. And I started tearing up a bit because they were just there standing, like, defenseless and stuff, showing, like, how it would be in, like, a real-life situation.
Yeah.
And just seeing them there, like, that just made me feel very,
yeah,
a little sad.
Like, and the brutality, like, one thing that I do appreciate about the live action is the fact that it's a lot more dramatic and mm-hmm. it's a lot more violent. It's much mm-hmm. more serious than the cartoon. And some people don't like that. They're like, mm-hmm. oh, I miss my jokey joke and going penguin sledding. And I'm like, I kind of can appreciate the kind of different vibe that they've taken in the live action, because I feel like it's easy for us to forget in the cartoon that they're at war.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's easy to forget that in the cartoon because they are having all these fun little adventures. But in the live action,
they're just there like fighting the war and everything.
Yeah, like it's war all the time. Mm. And I like that. It makes it more dramatic. It makes it more realistic, I feel like.
Okay, so going into it, when you saw Aang like flying with Appa and stuff and then Korra finds them, what were your thoughts on that compared to the show? Did you notice like any key differences from it?
Yes. So when Katara finds him in the cartoon, it's because she's like going off on Sokka about him being sexist, and like her anger is kind of what brings out the iceberg. But we didn't get that in the live action. I thought that part was kind of weird. I thought it was weird that they just stumbled across the iceberg in the live action, because it's like, well, if that were the case, how come the Fire Nation didn't just like stumble across the iceberg? You know, because at first it was like underwater and then Katara kind of like raised it up on accident. So we didn't get any of that, and that was kind of weird. And I must say, even though I like the live action as more of a drama, I was very sad that we didn't get that, will you go penguin sledding with me moment, like when he first woke up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's just the perfect introduction to him as a character. But I get it. It's more serious in the live action.
So when Zuko comes in, like in the show, what was there any key differences in that part compared to the show for you?
No. You guys, like, I had a viewing party for that first episode. I had my best friends over. My mom was there. We were all watching it. I was like, this is a shot-for-shot remake. I mean, when the light comes out of the iceberg and then Zuko sees it, the way that Zuko's ship looks in the live action is spot on to how it looks in the cartoon. And the fact that he said, finally, when he saw it, like, that's straight from the cartoon. So I really do like that. Yeah, there's, like, some new moments in the live action, but there are a lot of things that they just straight up copied and pasted from the cartoon. And I appreciate that, too, because I like having those moments. But I was so happy when Zuko came up. That part was just perfect.
So going, so talking about, like, the characters and stuff, did you think that the character developments were different compared to, like, the animated version?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So one of my few complaints about the live action is the pacing of it really messes with the character development, I think. The fact that it's only 8 episodes, each episode's only an hour, so in the live action, we don't have a lot of those bonding moments that we see between like Aang and Katara and Sokka. Like, one thing that I was telling people was by the end of the live action, like, once we actually got to the very end of episode 8, I was like, do these guys even know each other like that?
Yeah.
Like, they've been traveling together, but we haven't really seen them bonding or connecting. And so that kind of felt off. They didn't really feel as much of a unit by the end of the first season in the live action than they do in the cartoon. So in that way, I think, yes, it's like, their character relationships didn't really get to develop as much in the live action.
Okay. And when they were, okay, so going back a little, going back to when they were traveling to the Earth Kingdom, what were your thoughts when they introduced King Bumi there?
Okay, so this was a big change that they made with King Bumi. We all know that in the cartoon, you know, Bumi realized it was Aang, but Aang didn't realize it was Bumi. And so Bumi kind of plays a joke on him with like those trials, and it's still very lighthearted. Not like that in the live action. Bumi immediately is like, where the freak have you been? You just ghosted on us. We've been dealing with 100 years of war. I understand why a lot of Avatar fans didn't like that change, because Bumi is such like a comic relief, like lighthearted character. But at the same time, like, if we're looking at this realistically, this man has been alive for literally the whole war. This man's been alive for 100 years of war, and he's been having to like make decisions. He's have to be a leader during 100 years of war. So I would be mad too. Like, no, I'm not excited to see you. Yeah, I have a problem actually. So that part was pretty drastic. Like, it was a pretty drastic change, but again, it makes sense in the universe that they've created.
So continuing on, what were your thoughts when Aang, the battle of King Bumi and Aang compared to the show? Because for me, I noticed a few differences.
Yeah? Like what?
So one thing was towards the end where he was like, you're the Avatar, you have to make choices and all that. And then that's when Sokka and Katara come in, and then they stop one side, and then Aang's over there like separating the rocks and stuff. Like one drops here and then the other one on the other way. Trying to show that he's trying to show he doesn't have to use as much violence, but he's able to, how can I say, the two choices that he had.
Yeah, you got to be decisive. Yeah. I thought the battle between them was okay. Bumi definitely needed to be a little buffer, and that's not me like body shaming. He still looked good, but I mean, there needed to be more of a dramatic reveal, like when Bumi took off his cloak and showed his muscles. There needed to be a little bit more there. He could have been a little buffer. To be honest, the only thing, and this is me being a super nerd, the one thing that really bothered me when they were fighting, the part where Aang has those two boulders and he's like holding them above his head. I don't like the way that part looked, because the way that Aang was doing it, he just had like both of his hands straight up like this. But that's not how airbending works. Like, it's all about spiral movements. Like, he would have to be moving his arms like this. I know you guys can't see me, but you know what I'm doing. I'm doing my airbender circular movements. So that didn't make sense. I was like, okay, this looks kind of weird, because airbending doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I thought it was still a good adaptation of the fight.
Okay. And then going back to Zuko and Iroh, what were your thoughts when they showed the Max when Zuko with the two swords?
Yes, the Blue Spirit Mask.
The Blue Spirit Mask.
That's my favorite episode. I've already watched that episode like 4 times. So that's episode 6. That episode, I don't even know where to begin. Like, that's a very Zuko-centric episode. We obviously see him like grappling with like good versus evil, with him putting the Blue Spirit Mask on. And by the way, the part where he's like trying to infiltrate the prison when he's like first sneaking in, that was a shot for shot remake from the cartoon, like where he was hiding under the cart and then he got in the back. Like, Netflix, y'all ate that up, because that was shot for shot. I love that in that episode we see his Agni Kai with his dad, which is another thing that we don't really get to see in the cartoon. I mean, we kind of see it, but we don't really see them like battle it out, and we don't see how Zuko got burned. And so at this point, y'all know how I feel about my baby Zuko. Having to see that was just excruciating. And shout out to Dallas Liu, the guy that's playing Zuko in the live action. He is spot on. I mean, he is just embodying all of the complexities, all of the nuances, all of the little traumas that Zuko has. I'm like in love with Zuko all over again. That episode was so good. What was your favorite part from that episode?
That episode, mine was like towards the end, which was when Aang was there that helped Zuko, right? But then the key difference that I noticed is that in the animated version, it shows that Zuko firebends at him, but it's like Aang immediately escapes and they're like in the forest. Zuko's in a boat when he does it in the show, which was the one thing I kind of like it, but at the same time I don't, because I kind of wish they would have kept it like the animated where he would just like firebend and then Aang just like runs away and then continues with this dialogue. That was the one thing that I kind of didn't like, but then at the same time I kind of see why.
Oh, another detail from that episode that I'm like, Netflix, y'all did your thing with this one. When they made that change so that Zuko's crew is this are the soldiers that he spoke up for and tried to save when he was at that war meeting, they ate that up. I was like, when that clicked in my brain that it was the same soldiers that he had tried to protect and that's why he got burned and that's why he got banished, the fact that they were his crew, that was just like a cherry on top detail that made me love Zuko even more. And again, it's like a change that we're not used to, but it makes sense. Like, it still goes with everything else. So I feel like a lot of the changes that Netflix made just added to the universe. There were some things that I felt like took away from the universe, and I can talk about those too. But mostly it was positive, I feel like.
Okay, and then going into the when they made it to the Northern Tribe, what were your thoughts on that? Like, were there any other differences in that part compared to the animated show?
Issue number one, Yue's wig, baby. No, because why is the princess of the Northern Wild Tribe walking around in a synthetic wig, looking all thin? Like, it just looked terrible. I'm sorry, but I'm being dead serious. Like, all these other hair and costumes were spot on, but her hair was just not it. But the Northern Tribe itself looked really cool. I liked Paku. I thought Paku was spot on. I thought the battle between Katara and Paku could have been a little more.
I felt like it could have been a little more. Because I felt like in the animated, I felt like there was a little bit more compared to what they showed in the live action.
Yeah. I feel like in the cartoon overall, Katara was just more vocal. Like, she was way more assertive. She literally said to Paku, "I'll be outside if you're man enough to fight me," in the cartoon. But she doesn't say that in the live action. So it's like, man, I missed that. The headstrongness of Katara. So I thought that was lacking a little bit. But the architecture, I mean, of everywhere is so good. Like, the northern architecture, the Omashu architecture, like, looks-wise, it looked amazing.
So what were your thoughts when Aang spoke? I'm always forgetting his name because he's the one who always fought in the spirit world, right?
Kurik.
Yes.
Avatar Kurik.
What were your thoughts when Aang spoke to him in the live action?
I loved that. So again, that's a moment that we don't see until literally the last episode of the cartoon, when Aang is on the Lion Turtle. That's the first time that he meets Avatar Kurik. But in the live action, everything that Avatar Kurik was saying was factual. Like, that's not stuff that Netflix just made up. Like, the fact that he would fight spirits in the spirit world, that's true. We learned that in the Kiyoshi novels. So I really liked that part because it just showed how much intent Netflix had behind this. Like, clearly they wanted to do this right. Like, clearly they put in a lot of work researching, like, all of the canon, all of the lore that they use. Like, they're pulling stuff from the books. They're pulling stuff from the comics that's not even in the cartoon, you know? And so I really appreciate that. And that's why I can kind of forgive some of the other changes that I'm not too excited about, because I'm like, okay, clearly y'all tried your absolute best. So I can forgive a few missteps here and there.
So what were your thoughts on the way when they killed the koi fish in the lake and the princess had to sacrifice herself in order for the moon to be normal again?
Yeah, I loved that they kept that. One thing that I did like about Yue is she was still very selfless, like she was in the cartoon. She was very matter of fact. She's like, okay, it is what it is. Like, this is something that I have to do, so I'm going to do it. So I loved still having that, like, female heroic character in book one. I will say that I feel like that last episode was not action-packed enough for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think? Because I feel like there wasn't as much fighting. I mean, it's the season finale. Mm-hmm. We see Aang and, like, Koizilla kind of tearing things up, but which looked amazing. Mm-hmm. But I could have even used more time with that. We don't see Zuko and Zhao have their last little firebending battle in the live action like we do in the cartoon. Mm. So I feel like it could have been a little more action-y, but still 9.9 out of 10 still.
Mm. I felt like they could have like went more deep into the battle and so like give a little bit more background and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I felt like, as you said, like there wasn't as much action because I felt like the animated had a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then on this side of the live action, they made it seem like it's mainly like quick, fast.
Yeah.
And then in the animated, they make it like throughout the whole episode, there's like fighting, they're talking and all that. I just felt like in that part, I felt like the animated was better.
Oh, and Netflix, I do not forgive you for this. Why did Momo almost die? Why did they do that to us? Like, literally why? That does not happen in the cartoon. The only reason they did that was to try and make me upset. Literally, like, what other reason could there be? Mm-hmm. They just wanted to have an extra little a moment trying to get my little one tear rolling down my cheek. I was concerned.
Mm, I was concerned on that part, too. When I saw Momo there, I thought he was dead. Like, when they picked him up there until she said, oh, no, he's barely alive. I'm like, thank God that he's still there. Because if he would have died early on, then the show really wouldn't feel the same right there.
Like, why? Why was that even necessary? Like, the moon spirit already died. And now Momo is getting crushed by rocks. It's too much going on. The wrong people are being attacked.
Okay, then. And then, overall, is there anything you felt like they could change throughout, like, anything for season two?
For season two, I think they definitely need to give us more time watching the characters interact with each other. Because I feel like the whole first season was just very much characters either interacting with their own thoughts or interacting with, like, one other person or only, like, focusing on the task at hand. But a big part of Avatar, and every Avatar fan knows this, a big part of it is the characters' relationships with each other. And if you don't feel that, then nothing else is going to feel real. Because, like, I'm not going to believe that these kids would defend each other to the death if I feel like they don't even know each other, you know? And so it's important to, like, set that foundation so that the audience can buy in to the characters. So that would be my suggestion. And they better not pull no more Spirit World stunts. I got to talk about it. That episode 5, the Spirit World episode, I was not a fan of that at all. I felt like they made way too many changes about the Spirit World that just didn't make sense or took things away from the story. Like Ko. How is he just going to be Ko? His name is Ko the Face Stealer. And the fact that they took that part out of the live action really, like, that changed a lot for me, and it kind of took me out of it mentally a little bit. It's like, if there are established characters like that, my advice to Netflix is to not make any changes because I was not vibing with that. I can't wait for Toph, though. I know that much.
And do you feel like they're going to change Toph the way that she is and when they introduce her?
I would hope not. I would certainly hope not. Why? What are you thinking? Change her in terms of what?
Oh, no. I'm thinking that, like, I feel like Netflix is going to do something to her, like, compared to, like, the live action, because they've changed certain things, like, as you said, like, the character development. Like, Toph in the animated show, it's, like, rough at the start, but then eventually, like, she starts, like, outgoing and everything. And then I feel like the character development now, the way, like, as you said, they're not, like, bonding with each other compared to, like, the animated version. I feel like they're not going to do that with Toph. I feel like they're going to change something about her.
If they change anything, I hope that they bring her in earlier. Because, I mean, in the second season, we don't meet her until, like, a good third of the way into the season. I think it's episode 6 or something. So they're definitely going to have to bring her in a lot sooner in season 2. I hope they bring her in, like, episode 1 of season 2, because I need all the Toph time I can get. Mm-hmm. So if they change anything, I hope it's that. I hope they just bring her in sooner.
Mm-hmm. So overall, what would you rate the live action right now as it is?
9.9 out of 10. And even that 0.1 is me being super nitpicky. Like, it's the spirit world. It's really that spirit world stuff that mm-hmm. took off that 0.1 of a mm-hmm. point. But given everything, if anybody's giving it less than a 9, they're a hater. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Like, Netflix, y'all ate that up. Y'all did your mm-hmm. big thing with that.
I feel like that's it for now. Do you have any final words?
Go out and watch it, the live action, if you haven't already. Seasons 2 and 3 of live action have already been secured, so mm-hmm. we are definitely going to get the full series in live mm-hmm. action, and I can't wait.
I can't wait for that either. All right, guys. Well, that concludes today's episode. I hope you guys have a nice day, and I thank Miss Winfrey for coming into the podcast once again.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Everybody, take care.
Peace.